It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome into the Sports Objective Podcast. A great, great show, I promise. Right, Kyle from LaGrange Barber?
I think it's going to be mediocre at best.
All right, so it's not going to be great. But still listen anyway. Bubba Rosenbaum, what's up, man?
What's going on, guys?
Very excited about today being Wednesday. We actually had the TV deal was announced today, and I know Kyle's been sweating too and excited to talk about that, right?
Yeah, TV deal is something that I've been keeping up with for a while now, and you know, all the details were pretty much released about a week ago, but it became official today, except no finance formally discussed. I guess they're still having to wait for Disney to sign off on that before they can announce the figures publicly.
Right. That's next
Disney
week.
Board. But you know, we all know what the numbers are. It's going around $7 million per each school every year. So, but it was good to hear, get some of the details about the amount of games that are going to be on TV, which is still going to be a large number. A lot of games on ESPN Plus, and they're going to have Erasco made it sound like you know, we're going to kind of be like a conference network inside of ESPN Plus, the American, all the content that is shown on ESPN Plus, where the American is going to be labeled the American Digital Network. So, and that's really going to be good for, like, I'm going to enjoy that for baseball when we get into conference races, guys.
Right.
Where, you know, during the weekend, we'll be on the same app, you know, on the American Digital Network inside the ESPN Plus app, and we can switch from the East Carolina game to the, you know, the UConn game or whoever we're battling late in the season for the conference championship.
It's gonna be, and by the way, one great thing is the pretty much the basketball and football are going to stay the same. By the way, guys, it's going to be in fact, football, we're going to have more games. It's going to go from 26 to,
well,
I think you said 43.
That was a little bit of a miss. It's rough and you say a misnomer. We also had games on ESPN News. It sounds like those are going away now. So there will actually be more games that are going to be streaming only, which would have been ESPN3 previously. Now it's going to be ESPN Plus, because it sounds like all games are going to be on ESPN, ESPN2, ESPNU, ABC, or ESPN Plus. So the
right.
ESPN News games will be – so we are going to have a few more on the big four, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPNU, ABC, but no ESPN News content. All that's going to go to the way of streaming.
Am I the only one that wonders why that network even is – I mean, why it started out as a great idea, but it seems like that's a network.
It's beyond its usefulness lifespan now. They need to rebrand
that one.
They should call it I had a name for it at one time where they just show overflow content. I don't know what they could call it. But something. But they do need to rebrand it.
Like ESPN Extra?
ESPN Extra, yeah, you could call it something like that. Show overflow content, you know, show professional wrestling. Make it old school. Show goofy crap like ESPN used to show on there. Like, you know, when they don't have any games.
You're in the back of the day when 4 o'clock in the afternoon, when I was in junior high and high school, the AWA was.
AWA, and then after
that.
That
was awesome.
It was world class briefly, and then the GWF was the last incarnation of wrestling on ESPN, but originally the AWA from the Showboat Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada.
That's right. You know, and what's interesting that you bring that up is now that there's some, you know, pretty good wrestling outside of, believe it or not, the WWE, we'll move on in just a second. I know people but there are some folks who love our wrestling talk, by the way. I found that out. But there's some good wrestling out there. And if you're ESPN, it wouldn't be a bad idea to jump on board. Was it the AEW?
AEW, yeah. Well, they're... they're looking for a big TV deal. They're spending some money, so we'll see who they end up signing with. But yeah, it would be cool for them to take ESPN News, turn it into something like that. Show some wrestling, show some roller derby, show some off the wall
things you don't
stuff.
Normally. Yeah, things like that you that is judge. Sports. There are sports
right.
entertainment. And
then
you would
and
that you could get a good number
when it's needed. Show some games, but
how about the morning? It's Sunday morning. Do you remember all the fishing shows?
Oh my God! How about Dave?
Roland Martin and
I forget Roland Martin. You're talking about TNN crap, but about do you remember
Bill
Dance? Bill, you're going to National. Do you remember the guy that used to be on CBS Channel 9 in Greenville,
the Southern Sportsman, Frank
Southern
White.
Frank White, yes, and had the restaurant in Farmville.
Yeah,
and
he had one in Greenville as well. That's on 10th Street.
Yeah, Frank White and
it's sad that
up,
I know that.
I grew up watching him, man. Stuff like that. Modern versions. We're not saying show the old stuff, but show some new stuff like that. Why has this become ESPN News shit all of a sudden? But anyway,
I don't know.
The point is, ESPN News is the
passe.
Format is dead.
Yeah, it's very passe, and there's a lot of cable companies that are networks that are rebranding, and there's a reason why they're rebranding, because what they're doing is not working. And I just feel like it's like whenever, the game's like, we don't know what to do with this game. Okay, put it on ESPN News.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why is it still called
ESPN
anyway?
News? I guess it's maybe cheap. They just do studio news. I guess it's just cheap programming. I don't know.
Anyway, that's our – we love ESPN, but that's one of my complaints with the network is that channel. So maybe they can they'll take – I'm sure they listen to the Sports Objective podcast, so they'll take our advice for sure.
Should.
Speaking of hosts in studio, one of the things and I can talk about it now, the athletic director, John Gilbert, talked about, the TV deal. I wanted the Pirate Nation to be careful about getting too excited, like Kyle thinking he'll have like all these extra toys for the different athletic programs because
like me.
You'll understand where I'm going with this. The TV deal in the first few years, they're going to have to spend a lot of money on infrastructure. They're going to have to spend a lot of money on getting announcers. In other words, ESPN is not going to pay for the announcers. We're going to pay for it.
Now, to be clear, that's for Olympic sports.
Right, not for football or basketball.
Right, but let's be real. I mean, I know that's what Gilbert said. There will be some calls for wiring and such, but let's be real, man. It's going to be – we're not going to be – we're getting a $5 million increase from $2 to $7 million. We're not going to be giving announcers – we're not hiring,
right.
Kirk Herbstreit to call women's lacrosse. So it's going to be – I can't imagine us spending more than a couple hundred thousand a year on announcers for Olympic sports altogether. So it's still going to be a huge increase. Initial – rewiring to infrastructure is done so it can properly, broadcast set games.
And what's great about it is that I was telling Bubba with this, it's not that I think the Americans are a bad league, but I think we are, as I hate that term, a power league. And if we're going to be a power league, then, and for people to recognize us as a power league, one of the areas where we're, and I was talking to a guy at ECU, I won't say anybody's names, but we are really behind in the sense of the word, broadcasting when it comes to the very things of like a studio, when it comes to equipment. And here again, you hear me talk about it a lot. We need to do everything we can to improve things. And, when you guys saw it with the facilities, we've got to, that's one area where, along with a nutritionist, that we need to really, I hate to use the term, but up our game.
Oh, yeah, we definitely need to. The ward buildings need huge upgrades, and they're in the process of doing that. We need an indoor practice facility. And like so many people have said, the Morgan Ehlers, who we're going to hear later on in the show here,
yeah,
said the Southside expansion is nice. The press box is nice.
Right.
He's going to be calling games from it, but that really doesn't do anything for recruiting.
Well, what happened?
Recruits don't care about that. And
absolutely.
Our previous athletic director didn't have enough common sense to figure that out, that you spend your money on what is going to get good athletes in here first and foremost, then something like that comes second.
I've said several times they should have just simply not waited 40 years to replace the press box. If they had done, they waited way too long. And then what's happened is, I agree with you 1,000%. I'm just saying that what they should have done is done things, as we've talked about, that they're going to have to do as Coach Houston. You're going to have to do things incrementally. And when you do that, then you don't get behind 40 years where you're having to play basically catch up, and you're having to pay a lot more money for something that if you'd done things all along, we wouldn't be hit with a $60, $65 million price tag. It may have been, I don't know, if you'd done it all along, maybe half that, $20, $30 million. But anyway.
You have also built one not quite as big and fancy and probably spent half that. But
yeah.
Anyway.
We're in it now. We're in it to win it, as they say. And so now we've got to handle that. But I think that one of the things that's been a common theme is just simply for the podcast, we need to see tangible results of what we've talked about, things for the players, player amenities. We need to see stadium upgrades or stadium amenities as far as things that will actually help the student athletes, so that when they, with their eyeball test, when they see, wow, it's like the wow factor, then that's what's missing right now for me is simply there's times when people say all the time, we don't have money. Well, if we don't have
money.
Well,
you know what's so funny about that press box? Nate, I know there was other things to the Southside project. But to that whole press box, in my number six, that's what it is. It's a press box. Yes, there's a few seats, you know, boxes, luxury suites, all that, lounge seating, that will benefit a few very wealthy fans. And yes, there's some new luxury parking that's going to benefit a few wealthy fans. But when it gets right down to it, they built something. It's been a whole lot, and we needed a new press box. But they spent a whole lot of money on something. It's not going to benefit the student athlete. It's not going to benefit the fans.
No, not at all.
It's going to benefit the media and a few really wealthy people. And I guess, you know, maybe by having that, you know, I don't know, somehow help media coverage. Maybe media members will want to go sit in it. I don't know.
Maybe we can have college game day at some point.
We definitely needed one because, I mean, you know, what we had was old and outdated. But I think we could have done it a little bit more economically.
Yeah. Well, like I was saying, if you expanded things all along, like since it was built in 78 and
right. Added,
then, and it's torn down in 2018, right? So somewhere around there. So it's 40 years. So you just need to have a situation where if they had done section by section, or how we added, like, you know, the upper deck and club level in 98, we've done different things in Boneyard in 2010. I mean, you have, like, all these things you don't do. Like, for example, with John Gilbert in my interview, one of the things that drives me nuts, and but the concourse area under the stadium has been the same since 86.
Yeah, it would be nice to have some nicer TVs down there to see the game on when you're at the concession stands.
There's little things like that you could do to really upgrade the experience of game day. And like we were talking about the food trucks, like those kind of stuff are things that otherwise we're competing against technology, guys. We're competing against you and I, the three of us have I know you and I do, Kyle. I'm not sure if Bubba does, but I'll ask him now. Bubba, do you have the upgraded package as far as sports for cable?
Bubba's dead.
Yeah, anyway, but you and I do, Kyle. I know that for a fact. We've talked about it several times. But we're competing against technology as far as having you have Wi-Fi, you have the internet, of course, you have tablets, you have your phone, you have the huge TV, you've got a bathroom 10 feet away, you have the refrigerator close by where you can get your drinks or whatever, and you can get, you know, Domino's, or you can get a pizza delivered to you. So you don't have to leave your. I've had friends that are huge Pirate fans, and they said, "Dave, so I'm having to spend a lot of money on tickets. I'm having to spend a lot of money for gas. Maybe some of them have hotels. They're having to pay for the season tickets. I mean, you can just go." And so they're like,
and you do it all home, but you know, there is something to be said when we're winning and you're tailgating before.
Oh yeah,
those who enjoy tailgating and just being there. But excuse me, listeners, for the yawn. But nonetheless, we do need to improve the fan experience inside Dottie Ficklin from the concourse area where you get something to eat or drink. Yeah, I'll tell you one thing that would help, and it's been alluded to, is let's improve pricing.
Where you can afford
to eat or drink. There's several things we could do to improve.
I'll tell you another thing. Another thing that drives me nuts is the seating for, you talk about basketball, which you and I agree on that, but how about those bleachers have been there as long as I've been going to games. And, you know, it didn't bother me when I was thinking about the tickets when I was a college kid, back when there was reduced pricing. It was $20 a seat in the 90s for the face value of the tickets. And, of course, I'm not trying to say we should have them $20 tickets. I'm just saying there's a lot more out there now. Back then, we didn't have the internet and a whole bunch of stuff. And I would like to see, if it's a Pirate Club section, I think they should be chairback seats. I mean, I'm paying a lot of money. And by the fourth quarter, like, it's very uncomfortable to sit in those seats and paying a lot of money for those seats. So, in other words, not the middle of the stadium, the 50 or 40 yard line should have chair backs. That's something I'd like to see over time. And that's something else.
Would that reduce seating capacity at all?
Well, that's a good question.
Chair back everything.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. It may some. I don't know, but. Ultimately, what we have to do right now is win, right?
Yeah, no, winning is certainly going to help with attendance and getting people there. And I think just having a better product on the field. But that's one thing that will be improved. Guarantee you, Mike Houston and this staff will put a better product on the field this fall. That is one thing that's going to. Hey, it's something else. This is a question I want to ask.
Keep talking, Kyle.
We get John Gilbert back on. I have a really good question for him now that Chancellor Staten is going to be gone here really, really soon. I wonder if we could put East, by God, Carolina back in the end zone rather than.
Oh my God, I would love that. Oh my God, yes. We need to have Joey Perry on.
Well, yeah. Well, that won't be Joey's call, but I'd love to know if we're going to put ECU. In the end zones again. I hope not. If we ain't going to put East Carolina, let's put Pirates. And because it looks stupid. The ECU in the end zone looks stupid. So that'll be easy to see.
Yeah, please put at least Pirates on there. That I can't see.
I got a feeling that whole rebranding as ECU thing may be going away anyway.
I hope so. It'd be nice. No doubt about it.
Well, I only know one person that was behind that, and he's gone now. So yeah, you know, now that Staten's gone, you know, hopefully we can put East Carolina back in the end zones and maybe back on the jerseys, and it'll be interesting, like I said, to see if the ECU branding goes away. And I don't know, you know, Dave, it's going to be nice this fall with having Mike Houston, a guy we all believe in and can get behind. John Gilbert, a guy that, you know, we're all behind, and
Ryan Robinson. They've got a whole bunch of great people.
And Staten won't be there, so it'll be a nice positive vibe in the air inside Dottie Ficklin Stadium. All the people that the axis of evil, to use an old George Bush term, are all gone. And
that's a great analogy. I love it.
And we got all new people in there that we're all behind, and it should be a great atmosphere this fall inside Dottie Ficklin. So from that aspect, things have already improved.
Yeah, and hey, there's a guy that spent a lot of time inside Dottie Ficklin, and you were talking about the press box.
Oh, nice segue.
He has that, and of course, 30 years with the basketball team, being the PA announcer and also on Pirate Radio. Let's go to my good friend and our good friend, Morgan Ehlers. Let's go to that interview right now. Very happy to have our next guest, one of the first radio friends I met in Greenville. And Bubba, I know you're excited as well.
Yeah, it's a guy, no stranger to Pirate Nation. He's hosted Extra Point and other programs on Pirate Radio for years. His son's the quarterback of the Pirates, Morgan Ehlers. Morgan, welcome into the show.
Hey, good to have be here, guys. Appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. There's so much to talk about. It's like, where do you begin? But I know you're very close to the program, and I've said for other folks, but you're one of the folks I wanted to have on the podcast, and glad you're here. I know that I guess we should start with you're close to the basketball program. I know you had Joe Dooley on tonight, heard the interview. I want to get your thoughts on the basketball program, being that you're the PA announcer for many years with the basketball program.
Well, many years is right. It's going to be, I think it's 30 starting next year, which is
kind of scary.
Means I'm getting really old. But no, the basketball program has had its ups and downs, and I've said for years that it doesn't take as much in basketball to turn something around, but you've got to have the commitment to do it. And I think that was one of the big reasons Joe came back a second time, that they made a commitment, and they made a commitment to him, not only for him and his staff, but facilities and the ability to go out and recruit the kind of players that you need. And having him on the show tonight, was talking with him that, you know, there's on paper coming into the season, you had 3 scholarships to give and you had 1 from last year. Well, they might have as many 9, 8, 9, possibly 10 new faces on the team next year. So it's going to be a major overhaul, but I think you're going to see a huge talent upgrade, and with the staff that he's got in place and the way they can teach and coach the game of basketball, I think the future is very bright for the Pirates.
You know, Morgan, I love what Coach Ruffin McNeil used to say when guys got in trouble. He would say he loved the players, but he loved ECU more. This is a different context where I love those guys, hate that things didn't work out for them with East Carolina, but I love ECU more, and of course I love Joe Dooley more. So he's got to do what it takes to win ball games, or he won't be here.
Well, that's right. And, you know, with players, and sometimes you recruit players and things don't work out for whatever reason, whether it's a talent issue or whether there's a character issue, which I don't think really was the case in most of the players that he had that will be leaving. I just think that there's a time and a place that you can be successful as a player, and everybody wants to play. And that's one thing that I learned a long time ago, and really the last 3 or 4 years with Holton and the recruiting process, is, you know, everybody wants to play. You don't go to a school to get on scholarship and sit on the bench. And if it's better for you and to go somewhere that you get the playing time, if that's what you want, you know, go do it. I mean, you only live once, and you've got 5 years to play for. So after that, you hit, you know, 23, 24 years old, your playing days for the most part are going to be done, and hopefully you'll have a good education behind you. And I wish those guys well. I know the staff is working hard to find those players that are leaving homes for their future, and as well as bringing in new Pirates to wear the purple and gold next year.
And maybe I'm reading more into it, but you wouldn't be getting rid of those players unless you felt confident that you could get some of those big names. I know that guys like Steven Igo, our friend with Hoist of Colors, that we must be on a good chance of getting those players if 5 players are in the transfer portal.
I think so. I think you're going to see a big improvement from a talent standpoint next year. I know they've got 3 guards that they've already signed. They've got a young man coming in from, I believe, Georgia, if I'm not mistaken, that will be signing, that is committed. He was down between Auburn, I think Texas Tech. Georgia Tech was on him a little bit, but he committed to East Carolina because they gave him the chance to come in. Hey, you're going to play. And, you know, now they're looking for a couple more junior college forwards and maybe a couple bigs and possibly a transfer kid that might have to sit out a year, but, you know, develop into the program. And I made the prediction last year, I say in 3 years, which that includes this year, last year, and the next year, we'll be playing in the postseason.
Morgan, you've been calling basketball, like you said, for 30 years at Minji's. In those 30 years, what would you say is the best atmosphere you've seen for a ball game at Minji's? What game at the 30 years you've been college basketball?
There's been a lot of really good atmospheres, you know, at times, and the Pirate Nation craves winning. I know that the years they won the CIT, it was rocking in there. But when Dwayne Wade and Marquette came in and we knocked them off, when Louisville came in with Rick Pitino his first year, and Sidney Lowe brought NC State in here and he was wearing that butt ugly red coat and we knocked them off, that was great. But
The pimp coat.
But, you know, it can get as loud as anywhere in college basketball. It might not have the most people in there, but the way that arena is built, sound doesn't go anywhere. And I know there's been some concerts in there, and sound guys always say it's a tough place to have a concert just because of the echo. And when you got a rockin' Minji's Coliseum and the people are jumping up and down and screaming, and that really inspires the players. And, once we start doing that, you're going to see 6,000-7,000 people in there every night. And it's going to become a hard ticket. Because that's not a lot of people when you sit and think about it. I mean, for the Eastern Regionals, you know, they sold out 3 times in one day, which was pretty incredible. And they had a great, great crowd in there. It was sold out for the South Central game, and by the Farmville Central girls game, it was just about sold out. When the boys played, it was sold out again. So, you know, it's an incredible arena to play in. And you got to have that home court advantage if you're going to be successful in the American, because it's a tough conference to play in. I mean, you have half the conference. Joe said it tonight. You got half the teams in the conference playing in the postseason.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's four bids for the NCAA and 2 NIT games. So
also you got South Florida and the CBI.
That's right. Okay, then you got another one. So those are just some things you can look forward to, but. You know, think about it this year. If we shot that had some players that could shoot the basketball a little bit better this year, we finished, I think, 10-21 on the season, or 10-20, 10-21. But there were 4 or 5 games that we were in toward the end of it that if we would have just shot the basketball, you win 4, 5, 6, 7 extra games this year with the talent that we had. So that'll tell you about the coaching style and he gets those guys to play hard for him. And, you know, it's just – you got to have the talent to play, and I think that talent will be coming here the next year and the year after.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like you're saying, as far as the talent issue, my dad and I were able to attend that senior day game against UConn, and just looking at those two teams, that was the game we competed in up until about the last probably 4 or 5 minutes, and right there with the chance to win the ball game. But there was just no doubt that we were out-talented that day.
Yeah, and that's just one of those things that you can all these guys can play college basketball. Now, can you play at a certain level is the question. Everybody's not a Duke or a Carolina or whatever, or Kentucky, that can go out and get the one and done. But you see a lot of these teams that are competing and that are successful, they have got the 3- and 4-year players. That's where East Carolina has to go. We've lost too many players over the last 3 or 4 years that were good basketball players. Jeremy Shepard's playing junior college ball down in Florida, and he's averaging 22 points. You know, he might end up somewhere else in the American. You know, he's there's some good, talented basketball players that have left. You know, Elijah Hughes, he transferred out to be closer to home for some family reasons. And now, you know, he started at Syracuse this year and did really, really well. You know, it wasn't a matter of lack of talent coming in. It's a lack of talent staying over the years, because they didn't think they could get to where they needed to be at East Carolina for whatever reason. I think the players with Coach Dooley, with Coach Chilius, with Coach Rockefort, those guys know how to coach basketball. They've coached at a high level, and they've coached successful players in the NBA, and that's the selling point for ECU. You can come in, you can play 1, 2, 3, 4 years and play and get your tape, get seen, and you can play. If it's not the NBA, you can play in the D-League, you can play in Europe. You can make a good living playing basketball. But you just got to have the talent to stick it out and be successful for 3 or 4 years.
You know, Morgan, I was thinking about this morning. You brought up a good point with Rockefort. He was the recruiter at Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech, the very first time they've ever made the Sweet 16, and a lot of those guys, he had a handle in recruiting those guys that are now – where you would take Virginia Tech of being a football school, kind of like East Carolina, and here they are doing well in basketball.
Yeah, I mean, he had a major hand in recruiting the majority of those players. He was their top recruiter.
Yeah.
And, you know, he came down here with Coach Dooley, needed a change in scenery, and, you know, it's going to pay off because these guys like to recruit. They're gym rats. They'll go out there. They're beating down the doors on these schools, and they're finding the players. And, you know, all three of those coaches we just mentioned, I'm not knocking Coach Potasnik, because just the three new coaches that came in, and Rocco Ford, Julius, and Coach Dooley, these guys have been developing relationships for a long time throughout the country at a high level. You know, Coach Julius was at, I think, Washington. You know, Coach Rock was at Virginia Tech, among other places, recently. And, you know, they've got the AAU connections. They've got the showcase connections. They've got the top prep school connections. And there's a lot of players that, you know, can't go to one school or another, and they, you know, they need to find good homes. And I think that's what you're going to see with this recruiting class. You know, all the dust settles here mid-April, and by the end of April, you're going to see a recruiting class of 7, 8, 9, 10 kids that you're going to go, wow, there's a chance this thing to be pretty special once they get on campus.
And when you look at Memphis, Morgan, with Penny Hardaway, the staff he has, and having the number one player in the country staying home in Memphis and not going to Kentucky, and I've heard some people say he has a top 20 recruiting class for Memphis. They're a basketball tradition, and it's amazing to have that kind of talent. And Coach Dooley's saying, hey, if you come to East Carolina, you can be in the same gym when there's going to be a lot of NBA scouts looking at player X for Memphis or whomever, and you can actually have a chance to maybe make the league as well.
Without a doubt, you know, the American is a good basketball league. You had four teams, again, make the,
yeah,
you know, field of 64, and, you know, seven teams apparently all, you know, playing in postseason. You can find the ability to get out there. Scouts are going to find you. There's been a lot of scouts over the years that have come into Mindy's Coliseum looking at different players because they don't necessarily want to go to the bigger arenas and watch these guys where there's 20, 30 other scouts. They want to come in and get a one-on-one and be able to see some of these players, and they'll come through here and do that. And all these coaches have the connections, and they can just pick up the phone. Coach Dooley can pick up the phone to any NBA team and say, hey, you really need to look at this guy.
What about as far as we've got, I know, limited time with you, but I appreciate it very much. What about with football? I want to get your take. I know your son being on the team, but also you have the role of being the PA announcer for a number of years. I think it was since 2004, but a number of years.
I started last year with John Thompson,
So
I think this will be like year 15 on the mic up there this year.
But you actually, you're very close to the program. I have to say, being at practice, it has been a night and day difference. Very happy with Coach Houston and his staff. I'm not getting paid to say that. I really have been – it's been a lot of energy on the team, apparently the coaches. I just want to get your take on that for spring practice starting out.
Well, you know, with you know, Coach Montgomery, they made the change with him, and they brought in Coach Houston. And when the word started getting out that he was one of the you know, the top picks and the people they were really looking at, I went on, just did a little homework, just sort of, you know, Googled him up, as Ruffy used to say, I got to Google him up. But, you know, listened to his press conference when he came for the first time to James Madison. And one of the questions was asked, were you going to run the same offense that you ran at James Madison? He said, absolutely not. We're going to run to the talent that we have, and we're going to throw it, we're going to spread it out, we're going to do the things to be successful. And that shows you that, you know, he believes in the philosophy. You got to adapt and, you know, sort of overcome, use a military term. And, you know, he was very successful everywhere he's been. So he developed that formula for winning. And that's one thing that I really like. And normally when you have a head coach move in and take over a new job, if you look throughout the last 4 or 5 years of the coaches that have moved around, a head coach will come in, he'll keep a few people on the staff, he'll bring a few people from his existing staff, and then he'll hire a few new people. One of the really, and I've looked around and I really can't see that it's happened hardly anywhere that I've seen, Coach Houston brought everybody, with the exception of Brandon Lynch and Coach Three, you know, and Coach Three had worked for him before 2 years ago at James Madison, and Brandon Lynch had worked for him at Lenoir Ryan, so it's not like they hadn't worked together. But everybody came down, including the support staff. So So that tells you, and I've talked to some coaches, and they say it's just a really good environment from a family standpoint, from a coaching standpoint. He runs a tight ship, and, you know, the standard is the standard, as they've been saying over there, that they're going to create expectations, and you're going to meet those expectations, and they're going to make those guys playing for them better people, better football players, but better men. And there's, you know, things they have to do to be successful. And I think you're going to see a dramatic change in the results this year because of it.
Morgan, I've been following Mike Houston since he was at Lenore Ryan, and I'm on record from 2016 saying he would be our next head coach. But that's just tooting my own horn. How exciting is it for Holton? Holton grew up a Pirate. He's got to be pretty fired up about getting to play for Donnie Kirkpatrick.
Yeah, he is. And, you know, he's known Coach Kirkpatrick since when I was coaching Little League in Greenville. I can remember Davis coming in, I think, as a 10-year-old, you know, playing there. And then Peyton played with Davis in high school for a couple of years as well. And so I got to know Coach and his wife, Misty, very well, and great folks. And, you know, Holton's excited about it. And, you know, he's excited about the changes. And, you know, when he came and I tried to tell him, and a good friend of mine, Chad Greer, who played here, and his son's Will, and, you know, he and I were talking during the recruiting process. He said, Morgan, the only big piece of advice I could give you is go for the school. You don't go for the coaches.
Yeah.
You go for the school, because if the school's going to stay there, coaches are going to come and go. And I remember him saying that early on, and it really stuck with us. And, you know, a lot of schools came in and, you know, made late runs at him, and, you know, he stuck to his word, and he wanted to be at East Carolina, and, you know, proud of him for that. When he told me, I think he announced late January, and but he had told the family early in January that's what he wanted to do. And to be honest with you, we tried to make sure that's what he wanted to do. Did he really? And he stuck to it, and that's what he wanted, and he's where he wants to be, and he's getting a chance to live his dream, and I'm so proud of him, and all my boys are, and, you know, his mama, and, you know, it's you know, it's fun for the family, and we're excited for
it. Morgan, I wanted to ask you, as far as the recruiting process, being a dad that has two young kids that are playing ball now, that's starting out, started last year, what's the recruiting process like as a dad? And obviously with the connections you have at East Carolina, what was that like? It seemed like it went by very, very fast. Maybe not fast enough for you, though.
Well, it's, you know, with him especially, you know, playing football, you know, he was offered by Coach Ruff and Lincoln Riley, who was the offensive coordinator at the time, as I think his December of his freshman year or something like that. And he was very excited about it. He'd gone to camp, you know, he'd been to a lot of the games. And a lot of people were talking with him about, well, is he a quarterback? Is he a quarterback? Could he be? You know, he's a great athlete. He could pretty much probably play it anywhere on the field he wanted to, with the exception of maybe a lineman. He's not quite that big. But he made himself into a quarterback. He worked hard. Coach Connors over at D.H. Conley did a lot of work with him, and he camped a lot of different places. He went to a lot of big schools and looked at what they did and took the advice of those coaches. And, you know, he's going to outwork anybody. And I'll tell you that, and I'm very proud of that. And it's him. I mean, he's got the work ethic, and, you know, he's made himself into what he is. He's very coachable and humble kid.
You've probably been asked this 100 times. You're probably sick of being asked it. What was it like for you calling calling his first touchdown against North Carolina?
Honestly, pretty surreal. But doing what I do up there, you know, he scored the touchdown. They said, did you cry? I went, yeah. But then I had to start reading the next read that came right after it. And I just sort of had to keep doing what I'm doing. And then afterwards, it sort of sunk in a little bit after I got finished doing what I had to do for the next 2 minutes. And very proud. Very proud.
Yeah. I mean, that's awesome. You get to call your son's first touchdown, and then it be against North Carolina. I mean, that's fantastic.
And there were some personal reasons behind that, which I made it even sweeter. Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah.
All right. Morgan, as far as one question I had being an owner of facilities, I know you've got to be thrilled to, as Terry Holland called, the double wide in the sky. I know you've got to be thrilled to have the Southside Project to now you can, it's like going from rags to riches, in my opinion.
Terry Holland called it a double white in the sky. I called it the FEMA trailer in the sky. So, yeah, it's going to be exciting, man. It's a beautiful facility. You know, last year we were in the temporary booth, so we had to take the construction elevator up, which was always interesting. But yeah, I'm excited about it. I haven't been up there yet. They're saying it's supposed to be ready by July or early August.
Yeah.
And hopefully everything will be set up. But the facilities will be second to none in anybody in the country. I mean, from the drawings and renderings that I've seen and what they've sold on it, it's going to be a beautiful addition to the you know, Pirate Nation. But, you know, they also have to think and mention that Holton had traveled to a lot of different places. These, you know, that's a beautiful facility, and they've done, Coach Houston and his staff have put a lot of upgrades into the already into the locker room and some, you know, graphics and things like that. But you've got to remember something, that these 16, 17, 18-year-old kids that come in to recruit, that South Side, it's pretty, it's nice, but it's not going to sign a recruit.
Nope.
You know, the next thing we need, we desperately need, and I think Dave Hart's putting this together, is the training table and training facility. I know John Gilbert, in his last message he sent out, they're looking for a full-time nutritionist. They're going to bring on a staff for that, which they desperately need. But they also need an indoor practice facility. They desperately need that, because you do have to keep up with the Joneses. I was talking with Tom McMillan, and he made the statement last year that last year I think they would have had 16 days of practice that would have had to gone indoors had they practiced in the afternoons. And that's what they're going to be doing this fall, I believe, is practicing in the afternoons again.
Yeah.
And, you know, around here you get the thunderstorms, and you just never know what the weather is going to be. But you have the indoor practice facility, and you just take it inside, and you don't miss anything, no game preparation, anything. So, and I think you're going to see that within the next couple of years. You're going to see a quick major fundraising event going on, and I think Dave Hart's really working on that right now.
I wanted to ask you something, Morgan, behind the scenes a little bit, just for my own personal knowledge. During the games and right after the game, who's in charge of playing music, and who selects the music?
Last year, it was the folks from Still Life were actually playing the music last year, I think, for football and basketball. And
okay.
I'll be honest with you, I thought it was pretty good. It got better, you know, up and down as the year. And they take your suggestions, and they put it to good use.
Gotcha.
As long as we're winning, I don't care what they play.
I have an idea. I don't know who to tell it to, but I have an idea, and I just need to find out who I need to direct it to.
I'll get that information for you.
Send it to Eric Ward. Be nice. But, yeah, Eric is in charge of marketing. They do, and I'm going to tell you this. You know, I've worked with a lot of folks over the years, and, you know, Eric has done a great job since he took over last year in a very difficult situation. You know, they came in, and, you know, John Gilbert came in, and I've had a chance to meet him a couple times and talk with him, and just as nice a guy as you're ever going to meet. And Ryan Robinson, who's now the external associate AD for external operations over there and in charge of the marketing department, great guy. And I think these guys,
yeah,
they get it. They get what they need to do. They're not, you know, walking around with their own ideas, and it doesn't matter what anybody else says. And, you know, they want the ideas, and they're listening to it, and they're going to be implementing some things. And I think you'll see some things from when we've been successful in the past start to reappear. And you give them a little bit of time, I think the environment's going to really pick up. You know, again, I've been very, very happy talking with Ryan, and I just think in his staff and marketing and all that, it's really going to be a lot of exciting things coming up in the next year and the years to come.
Well, the Morgan, one thing about Ryan, Morgan, if we could just get him to come out of his shell, he thinks of gosh darn introverted than shy.
Yeah, not hardly. I want to ask you, Morgan, as far as Benji's, we were talking about facilities. Is there any way, I was at the a magical night at the Harlem Globetrotters on Thursday night with my son, but that's a whole other story. But is there any way we can improve the sound, the speakers, You have a booming voice every time I go to a game. I can understand you clearly, but so, like the other night, there was times I could not understand what the, you know, to enjoy the experience of the Globetrotters even more because the speakers kind of sound muffled. And I, that's something I'm hoping that we can put more, better sound in there. And there's other things I'd like to see, but what would you like to see at Menchie's?
You know, I think they redid the sound system 3, 4, 5, 6 years ago now. It might be that long. I'm not sure. And they put redid the speaker system in there. And it, at times it's the way they've got it system and the way the sound engineer put those in there. There's certain sections of the Coliseum that it is very clear. There's certain sections of it that's muffled. And again, where I sit, sometimes it's clear, sometimes it's not.
Right.
It just varies on the way the sound bounces off. You know, if you go to a RBC Center, if you go to any one of the big arenas, they have the line array systems that are out there now. And they, you know, are basically, you'll see them hanging from the ceiling in a sort of a curve or an arc, and that allows the sound to go at the same spot versus, you know, so you're hearing it at one level, the person above you is hearing the same thing, and the person above you is hearing the same thing too. That might be a solution, but again, everything costs money, and I think there's some priorities over there that, you know, such as the training table for the athletes and some things like that, that, you know, maybe in a few years we can get to that, but I think there, my opinion, there's some pressing needs more than the new sound system.
And it comes down to putting butts in seats for sure. Morgan,
that's exactly
thank you
right.
So much.
You put 7,000 people in there, you can put in new speakers after a season.
It's coming down to winning for sure. Well, thank you, my friend. I appreciate your patience tonight and recording here on Monday night. And certainly we're very excited about the football season. And I think our next year with our basketball season as well. Appreciate you coming on the Sports Objective.
Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate you having me.
Appreciate Morgan Ehlers coming on. He's such a great guy. And the great thing I love about Morgan is he's a straight shooter. And he tells you how he doesn't hold back, and I appreciate you and him. You and he have that in common, Kyle.
Yeah, Morgan's
a real friend. He's a real friend.
Yeah, Morgan seems to be a good guy. I don't know him personally like you do. I always enjoy his calls at football games, and certainly glad that his son Holden is a Pirate. And I can't wait to see Holden in year number 2 and see how he develops under Donnie Kirkpatrick's tutelage.
I just can't wait to see. Imagine him as a senior. Think about how great he played as a freshman. Imagine him as a senior. We had Shane Cardner, of course, but it's not every day that you get a guy that you can build your team around. And if you don't think, and let me say this, folks.
And by the way, Dave, it's been 5 years since we've had Shane Cardner.
Yeah, that's hard to believe. Wow. If you don't think the quarterback position is a big deal, then
I
look at East
Carolina.
It is. I'm just saying.
We've had quarterbacks. We've had quarterbacks, Dave. I mean, one of them's playing in the Alliance of American Football. Well,
Phil Nelson.
For as long as it's still around, they're in financial trouble big time. And then, Minshew is going to be drafted. So.
Oh, that's right.
So we just didn't have anybody to coach them.
And now we do, so that's a good thing. And
yep.
I'm excited to see what Holden can do. And I know it was fun to talk to – I've been dying to talk to Morgan about being a Pirate, and now you have your son. I mean, oh, my goodness. If I don't know how I'd react if Alexander plays or McKenzie plays for ECU. I don't know that I probably would be a nervous wreck watching the ball games. It probably is not the great experience like you think it is. It's one of those moments where be careful what you wish for, I think. But we'll see. That we got plenty of years to go before I even have to entertain that notion for sure. We have a great guy now next up, Kyle, that we talked to, who is actually a lot of fun and a really good sport. And hopefully we can keep him around Greenville. Of course, we're talking about the color analyst for ESPN3 for the basketball games for ECU, a lot of them anyway. Let's go down to Nate Ross. Let's go to that interview right now. Well, it's in the regular season for end of season for East Carolina, but the college basketball season goes on. And, Bubba, we have one of our favorite basketball guests. I'm sure he could talk more than just basketball, right?
Yeah, anybody that watches the Pirate games on ESPN3 is aware of Nate Ross, does a tremendous job as a color analyst. So we're very excited to have Nate on. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys. Always good to be with you guys.
Absolutely. And I promise we're going to send you a we'll actually send you a bow tie after we get done.
Greatly appreciated.
Yeah, we wanted to have you on, Nate, because obviously the Sweet 16, but starting out, I want to get your thoughts. We actually had Coach Joe Dooley, we found out, which was one of the things this week, that they're actually, according to our friend Steven Igo, I believe there's five guys that are in the transfer portal. They're going to have to pretty much just rebuild this team, right?
Well, I didn't know how many were going to go in that new thing called the transfer portal, or if anywhere. But they had a good nucleus, but as you see from the teams that play in the NCAA, and I got the pleasure of doing Wichita State at Furman and the NIT game for ESPN, there's a lot of good teams in this league, in the top half of the league. And Wichita State wasn't in it, but they're really good now because those freshmen are playing. The top half of this league is exceptionally good.
And I know that, by the way, Kyle from LaGrange joins us too, Nate. And, you know, with the very excited about today being a historic day with the American announcing the TV contract, and we'll be talking to Commissioner Mike Oresko tomorrow, as a matter of fact, about that. But anyway, I know that with this league, the American, with basketball, it's great to have ESPN. It's great to have a lot of these basketball games. I've thoroughly enjoyed not only East Carolina, but just watching teams from the American play.
Oh, and it's a great feather in the American's cap to get that big of a deal with ESPN. You know, the ACC network, of course, is going to start in the fall. So it'll still be under the ESPN umbrella, but it won't be on ESPN stations. They'll have their own station, I believe.
Right.
And they had to fill that niche. And from the football in the American Conference, and obviously what we just talked about, the basketball in the American Conference, and baseball and all the other sports, it's a great get for the American Conference and for all the teams. And, of course, East Carolina gets a big part of that as well. A lot of coverage on the linear networks, which is, you know, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPNU, and literally thousands of games on ESPN3 and plus.
Nate, it looks like a lot of the basketball games will be moving to ESPN Plus. Could be seeing a lot more of you in Greenville this in coming years.
I don't think it's possible to be there more than I was there.
No, it is. It is.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I can get a little apartment there. It's not bad. no, I love doing the games there. It's a lot of fun. It was fun seeing the maturation of this team over the season. And as we said when we talked before the season, they didn't know Coach Dooley. Coach Dooley really didn't know them. I mean, he watched them on tape, and he saw games from the previous years of the guys that came back. But it was a learning experience for both of them. And the one thing that, and I didn't doubt this would ever happen, but they played harder at the end of the year than they played in the beginning of the year. And that's a credit to the kids and the coaching staff to keep everybody in there when they weren't in the top half of the league. They just keep fighting. They're in every basketball game.
Yeah, and the biggest thing, Nate, is that I saw with my naked eyes simply the fact that there was a lot of times where guys had open shots and they just couldn't make them. And if you're going to compete in this league, it's nothing personal to guys, but Joe Dooley didn't come back here to go win only 10 games every year. And there's with the guys out there, with the coaches recruiting the way they are, if you have three guys graduated and you have five that are in the quote-unquote transfer portal, that's eight guys. So eight, you only can have, 13 scholarships and basketball for the NCAA. So it looks like there's going to be pretty much a whole new team, except for the exceptions of, Gardner and, of course, with Sean Williams and the like. So there's going to be a few guys, and Seth Ledet, but we'll get him back from the ACL. But it looks like right now, that means to me, what I'm hearing, maybe I'm putting too much into it, they really believe that a lot of these guys will, the guys they really are going after, they have a shot at them.
Oh, you always believe that. Did I hear you right, Tefa, they had an ACL surgery? I didn't know that.
He had the tear. What was that, Bubba? Was it the end of the regular season game?
Yeah, it was against Wichita State.
Wichita State, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember he got hurt, but I didn't know how serious it was. Well, hopefully he'll come back.
Yeah.
Then later. Great athlete. But, you know, it's funny you said about making shots. When I was doing the Colonial Tournament at the end of the season, I can't remember which coach it was. It might have been, unfortunately, Tony Shaver, who was relieved of his duty there, William & Mary. But he said to us, you know, sometimes guys just comes down to making shots. You can do all these other things, but you got to make shots. And sometimes the coach has nothing to do with that. Yeah, you practice it. But when it comes to crunch time, the kids got to make a shot. And when they do that more than not, you know, you get a good result. So they'll get new faces. They'll mix them in with the guys that are coming back. And they'll be better for it. I agree with you about Coach Sewell. He's not happy. He hasn't won him in 10 games. That's not why he came back here. No question about it.
Well, if it's if Coach Dooley were playing in a family ball game, he wants to win that bad. He'll tackle his grandma to win.
Absolutely.
And so that's not a bad thing. I'm saying it's a compliment.
It's a great compliment to his competitiveness. And I've always said this when I coached and since I've been out of coaching. Teams play to the personality of their coach. And that's what we just talked about. That's the way those kids played all year. They did not tank it in a game. They could have with the record and with the teams they played. And they fought in every game. And they were in a lot of games till late. And the talent level sometimes showed up with the other teams. And the other teams sometimes made some shots. But the competitive level of that team was not lacking whatsoever.
And early in the season with that Sean Williams with his – and you had the game, I know, with I believe with James Madison, that the buzzer beater. I mean, there was like four or five games where they could have, should have won, and they didn't. And that's the difference between, say, 10-win season like they had and maybe a 14-win season or 15-win season.
That was no question. But like I said, because they didn't win those, a lot of teams in this country just mailed it in for the rest of the season. But if you've ever been to a practice, and I've been to a bunch of them, that's not the way they work down there in Greenville. Coach Sewell didn't let them do that, and it was reflected in how hard they played all year. And when you get better talent, that won't drop off, and then the results will be much different.
You're talking about the with the league, how great it is. There's no doubt about it. And you have 7 out of the 12 teams between the NCAA, when you have NIT, and, of course, CBI. So 7, over half of teams made postseason. I wanted to ask you about Houston. Do you think, as I do, maybe I sound like a AAC homer, I think they got a real shot to make the Final Four. No, I don't want to jinx them, but what do you think?
No, I watched all their games. Obviously, I did the game when they were at your place at Greenville. Corey Davis Jr. is a phenomenal competitor, and his athleticism and basketball IQ are just as high as that. If talk about making shots, if you need to make a shot, Corey Davis Jr. is going to make a shot for you down the stretch. And
right.
I think the Horton kid, Nate Horton, the freshman, the 6'5 kid, is really good. Armani Brooks is really good. I think they got a legit shot at beating Kentucky. I really do. Because of the way they played and because of the league they played in, granted, Kentucky played in the SEC. But they're ready to go. And they got a bunch of different post players they can throw in there. And they're all 6'8", and they're all athletic. And the later you get in the NCAA tournament, you've got to have good guards. And they have exceptionally good guards.
You know, Nate, the guys are a lot younger than me, and I remember they were in diapers when the 5 Slamma Jamma were big time. And Houston has a really good basketball program as far as tradition, and it looks like that Kelvin Sampson's putting them back into that era or a new era, but it's certainly reminiscent of that.
Well, it's been a long time since that has happened, and that arena that all those guys played in is now part of a $60 million renovation. And Fertitta Center, I believe it's called. And there is a gentleman named Mr. Fertitta, or the Fertitta family, that is a huge booster and obviously backs his boosting, if that's a word, with his dollars. So they have great facilities. They definitely have Kelvin Sampson that's turned it around. And, they're a force to be reckoned with, not just this year, but in the future in America.
No doubt about it. What are some other teams that you like for the tournament as we're down to as I was telling Bubba, it's 14, I hate the term Power 5, but there's 14, if you will say that, Power 5 schools, and there's two Group of 5 schools left in the Sweet 16.
Yeah, Oregon is the 12th seed that made it through, and the other one is, Auburn was a 5 seed, but still, that's a Power 5 conference. You know,
yeah.
I hate to say this because I'm a Maryland alumni, but North Carolina is playing really well this time of year.
Yeah.
They're playing like Coach Williams wants them to play. They're flying up and down the floor. If the other team dunks it, if you look up and watch him, all he's doing is waving them up the floor. Let's go. We just want to outscore people. They're exceptionally athletic. Luke May's really good. Kobe White can fly with anybody. Unfortunately, they're playing an Auburn team that might be as athletic. But North Carolina, I think, is playing exceptionally well. And if Zion, and you don't even have to say his last name anymore. Everybody knows who he is. He stays healthy. I don't know if anybody can beat him if he stays healthy. Because he changes, obviously, the game of college basketball. But I heard somebody say this on the radio today. Not only does he play at a level that nobody else plays at, but he raises the level of everybody else. When he was hurt, they were good. But when he's back, they're exceptionally good because of him. And the other guys kind of get fueled by his energy and his ridiculous athleticism. So they're fun to watch.
Yeah, certainly with his body, I've never seen a big man be able to move up and down the floor. And the other thing is, when he, in that Carolina game with the tournament, when he actually shot the ball, he misses it, and then he's able to get his own rebound and put it back up that fast. Yeah, there's guys that could get the shot, but the way that he did that was amazing.
Well, there may be a few people with feet as quick as he is, but none of them weigh 280 or 90 pounds or whatever.
Right.
They're like that little 5'11", they list him as 5'11". The point guard from Auburn, Jared Harper, they list him at 5'11", he's probably 5'9". Zion might be as quick as he is, and he weighs probably 150 pounds more. He's a generational athlete. He really is. And he's great for college basketball. Unfortunately, you better watch him because he's not going to be around after this year, of course. But he makes everybody better around him, and that's the sign of a great player. Obviously, he's really good. But making everybody else around you better is a great asset. That's a great compliment given to him.
Nate, with the as far as the Sweet 16, it doesn't look like there's not really much of the Cinderella factor, I guess, with the outs, maybe the exception of what, with Oregon being the 12th seed?
Yeah, but that really counts. They got a plus 7-footer named Bol Bol in the middle, who I looked it up today. He averages 21-10.
Yeah.
Now, granted, they were a 12th seed because they didn't play great in the Pac-12 conference, but they're really good. Coach Altman used to be in the Southern Conference when I was in it, actually. And then went to at Marshall, and of course now is at Oregon. But they got some serious athletes too. Now, I think Virginia is a team that is very difficult for anybody to play because of the way they play. They're scoring a little more than they used to. They only lost 3 times, and I think they have a little chip on their shoulder because of what happened last year with the 16-1. And that can pay dividends down the road. You know, they all talked about it. Coach Bennett probably didn't, but they all did the entire year. And they won easily the first couple, and now they're playing an Oregon team, and they're a number one seed for a reason because they're really good. They only lost 3 times.
Yeah, I know, Bubba, you want to talk about some potential matchups with Nate?
Yeah, before we had you on the line, Nate, and Dave and I were talking about some of the potential storylines. You had the possibility of a Duke-Kentucky championship game, and obviously those two schools have had a strong connection ever since that 1992 regional final when Christian Laettner hit the shot up at the Spectrum. But you also had the potential of a Duke-UVA matchup, and, of course, the Blue Devils gave the Cavaliers 2 out of their 3 losses thus far. You have the potential of Duke-UNC Part 4. You have also like a Michigan State in the semis, and UK Tennessee in the semis on the other side of the bracket.
Yeah, there's some great possibilities. Everything obviously will shake out after this weekend. It's amazing. In 3 weeks, it goes from 68, or really after the play-in, 64 to 4. In a hot
yeah.
And you have a hot weekend, and you're really good, and you have got one kid who doesn't make threes, then you might be going home. The best usually rise to the top. Now, that, like you said, there have been Cinderellas in the past. But I believe the one time that Virginia or Duke lost to Virginia was without Zion Williamson when he was hurt. But,
yeah, it was up in Blacksburg, I think, like some like 77-72.
That's exactly what it was, yeah. And Virginia Tech's a really good team too, but I don't think with Zion, I don't think they can beat Duke. I just don't. But the other thing that nobody wants to talk about, and not you guys, but the rest of the world, is think about the kids at LSU. I mean, they don't have a coach. And I know Will Wade a little bit because he used to be at Chattanooga and then at VCU. And he's not talking to the athletic director who just wants to come in and tell the truth. I mean, those kids sitting in their dorm tonight must be saying, what the heck is going on here?
It's very strange.
And they're playing well. But, and they even have his, I think they have a WW on their jersey or on their warm-up somewhere. And they're backing, obviously, their head coach, Will Wade. But that's a tough, you know, they're 18 to 21-year-olds. That's a tough deal for those kids to deal with because every reporter is going to ask them about it, and they're going to probably say no comment, which they are told to say. Or we love Coach Wade, and we're backing him, and leave it at that. And then they got to play a Michigan State team that's really good. So that's, you know, Coach Izzo doesn't play. He just locks you down in all that league play, and that's what he's going to try to do to a very athletic LSU team. So that's going to be a really interesting game, just the mentality of it in my mind. And, you know, and Michigan State forces plus 20 turnovers a game. That's the way they play. So
and they've got a tremendous coach.
Oh, yeah, Coach Izzo. It's like when it comes March, it's time for him to be one of the best teams in the country. And he always is.
Yeah. What about when it's all said and done? Do you like, are you going with North Carolina then to cut down the nets?
See, I went to Maryland. It's really hard for me to pick any.
I know.
But I think with Zion Williamson and the energy they're playing with, if he stays healthy, I think Duke can win it all. I really do. North Carolina's going to try to outrun them if it gets to that. But Duke just can settle things down and then give the ball to him and get out of his way. I mean, like you said, he can miss a shot and go get it. North Carolina, I think, is the most balanced team because May is really good on the outside. And they got Kobe White and Nasir Little. And they just keep throwing bodies at you. And they try to wear you down physically, not by beating you up, but by outrunning you. And not outrunning you like the old UNLVs, outrunning you and getting great shots. I mean, that system has worked from Dean Smith all the way up to Coach Williams now. And it's through the test of time, and it works. And they have great players. But I just think Duke just has a little bit more because of Zion Williamson.
Well, it'll be interesting to see. And certainly, like you said, we'll find out after this weekend. As far as go ahead.
Yeah, that's what I – something I saw last night on social media, Nate, is one of my friends actually shared it with me. You had Purdue coach Matt Painter at a press conference. He was talking about Grady Eifert, and the tweet said the Eifert example, and he was just basically saying that there's guys in the NBA that play certain roles, and that Grady Eifert does that same thing, and that the guys in the NBA get $10 million for doing it, but for some reason kids – just want to be scorers, and they don't understand by finding their niche and playing to their strengths that they can get to the mountaintop.
When the G League used to be called the D League, and I used to do the radio for the Charleston team, and the Greenville team was coached by Tree Rollins. I don't know if you guys.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And one of the most sociable, nicest guy, a monster of a man, just a huge person. But I remember talking to him during a pregame And because the Greenville team wasn't far from Charleston, we played them a lot. And I remember talking to him about exactly what you're talking about. He said, and this is going back a few years, he said, every one of my kids wants to be Michael Jordan. He said, I became a millionaire by doing one thing. I rebounded the ball. That's all I did. I didn't want to score. I didn't have to score. And I became a millionaire being really good at one thing. Kids don't get that. They want to be LeBron. They want to be whatever the greatest one is now, the Greek freak. If you're good at one thing, you'll find a spot or a niche in the NBA, and you can be a very wealthy human. But kids don't get that because of the publicity that a Zion gets or what James Harden does or what LeBron used to do, and now he's just not on a good team. But you're right, you're absolutely right. If you're good enough at one, I just saw something the other day that, for the Bulls, the crazy guy, the rebounder.
Dennis Rodman
had, it was like 40 games one year where he had 20 or more rebounds and never scored in those games. It wasn't 40, it was like 15. But he never scored a point.
Wow.
Anyway, he got some rings.
Oh, yeah.
If you're good at one thing, they'll find a spot for you. They really will.
Something else I wanted to ask you about, you have an opening in the state of North Carolina at App State. They parted ways with Jim Fox, who was a longtime assistant over at Davidson under Bob McKillop. So it seems like a couple of the finalists or the finalists for that App State job may be a longtime Charlotte coach, Bobby Lutz, who was most recently in the NCAA a few years ago on the staff at NC State under Mark Gosherty. And then you also had Pim Kraft, who led Gardner Webb to the NCAA tournament this year. And
the very first time.
Yeah, and had UVA on the ropes at halftime.
Yep. Yeah, Appalachian and Boone's a very special place to me. I was there for 8 years with Coach Kremins and then Coach Cantwell, and then I left there to come to the Citadel. But Boone is a really, obviously, in the Sun Belt, used to be in the Southern Conference. It's a great campus. I don't understand why only 800 people came to the games. In February, there's not a whole lot to do in Boone. I mean, go to a gym or a dorm and watch a basketball game. It's cold. But there's no more beautiful place in the world in the springtime. Obviously, they're blowing it out of the world in football and lost their coach to Louisville. Now they got a new coach. But I don't know who they're going to pick. I don't know the athletic director. He's new since we were there many, many years ago. But I think it's a great job. They were really talented this year. I did a lot of Coastal Carolina games. In fact, I saw Coach Lutz there about 3 or 4 weeks ago at a Coastal Carolina practice, and we were talking a little bit. Obviously, Appalachian never came up, but because he and Coach Ellis are good buddies. But and I know Tim Kraft pretty well, a very good coach and a better person. Coach Lutz is a phenomenal X's and O's coach. But Coach Kremins didn't fit the bill when he showed up, but they love Bobby and Boone. Boone is all about the people of Boone. It really is. And yep. You got to fit in with the people. Coach Capel from North Carolina
did. He fell off the same way.
Jimmy Fox did, but just didn't win enough games. But it's in fact, I don't know if you guys know this, the mascot is called Yosef.
Yeah.
Yep.
But yeah.
The origination of that is, used to be Appalachian State Teachers College, and the motto was be yourself. And yourself, when you leave the mountains of North Carolina, turned into Yosef. That's why the mascot is called Yosef.
Well, when you were at Appalachian all those many years, did you ever go over to Avery County much, over to the Newland area?
Of course.
Best
Chinese restaurant in the world.
I've eaten there with my ex-girlfriend who lived there, who's an absolute lunatic.
Who's the famous basketball player from Newland? Who owns an electric supply store now there?
Oh, Tommy Burleson.
Yeah.
Tommy Burleson.
Absolutely correct.
Yeah,
one of the best ACC players ever.
David, before he went to East Carolina, was a student at Lees McRae.
Okay.
Yes, I was. Yeah. I'm freshman year.
We all have ties to that area.
Did you know Roy Williams used to own Mount Mitchell Golf Course, him and Dean Smith?
I didn't know that. Wow.
They did way back when. They didn't for many, many years. That's a great golf course. It's so beautiful. You just look up the mountain the whole time. No, I love that place. Banner Ralph is leading the Cray, but no, Beans, we used to drive 45 minutes from Boone just to go eat Chinese food at Beans. That was the best. For your birthday.
Wow.
Now,
yeah.
We didn't go in February because there was too much snow underground, but we do it in the springtime. But no, Boone's a great place. I hope they get a really good coach that, I'm telling you, you got to fit in with the people in Boone. You don't have to be Southern because obviously Bobby Kremins did it, and they never understood what he said, and he never understood what they said. But they love Bobby and Boone, and they always will.
It's very similar. It's a very different area of North Carolina than Greenville. It's very similar. If the people don't like you, it's just not going to work. It ain't going to work.
You're just right.
Like we always liked Dooley, and we had a rogue AD that ran him away many years ago, and we've wanted him back ever since.
Well, speaking of ADs, and like I said, I don't know this man that took the job over at App. They just tore down the football field house. I saw that my buddy sent me videos of it because they're building a brand new one. But anyway, it's about the relationships athletic directors have with coaches. A lot of times, that's who gets hired.
Yeah, Nate, the AD that you're referring to at App State, he has done a heck of a job from all accounts, and that's Doug Gillen. He actually came there, I think
he'd been
an associate AD at Missouri.
Yeah, I don't know him at all, but obviously the football program went crazy, and he lost his coach for the year. Supposedly, they hired a guy that the people really like in Boone. They'll like him a lot more if he wins. He was the offensive coordinator at NC State, I believe.
Yeah, Drinkwitz, right?
Yep, Drinkwitz, exactly. I couldn't think of his name. But
background with Boise State. He's a good coach.
I've heard about him. But
what about?
Do some, it's amazing. There's I used to make lists, but since I'm not coaching anymore, I don't do it. There's 70 or 80 every year of 325 that change jobs. It's crazy. But
wow.
There's a lot of them.
I want to ask you, Nate, as far as you do, you're a jack of all trades as far as announcing. Do you do baseball games? Because we need baseball announcers for the new deal. That was one of the questions I was going to ask you for it'll be in a couple seasons, I guess.
Yeah, I've done baseball a lot for the Big South. I did some for College of Charleston and Colonial, too. But when I was a kid, that's all I ever played. I didn't play basketball. I got to late junior high school. So baseball is my first love.
Wow.
I'm not doing any this year, but I've done a lot. In fact, I turned down some this year because of another business venture I'm about to get into.
We need to call John Gilbert and say, Nate Ross, we'll get him a great apartment, or maybe we'll get you an apartment on campus or something, and that way you can help you with the room and board and the meals, right, guys?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's going to be in town more with the ESPN Plus for basketball, and then, like you said, baseball will be moving to ESPN Plus now. So
I'm thrilled about that.
What is baseball on now? Are they not on anything?
It's produced by the school. It's all access. You go to ecupirates.com, and the IMG, our IMG radio announcer, they just put his feed on the audio on the video feed.
Because you got to have a baseball program there, too.
And then you also have some games that are on the American Digital Network, and they do a good job. And then you also have...
Well, that's questionable.
Well,
that will all change. That will all change. Not next season, the following.
Yes.
Right. And was it 2021?
Right, correct. And as long,
correct.
As long as I can get to Atabolo before they close, I'm a happy camper.
Are there any other places that you've eaten at this year while you've been doing a lot of games for us?
Well, Atabola, and then I always mess up the name. Is it it's PCK in some order. It's on the other side of town. Same owner.
Are you talking about Carolina Pasta Works, CPWs?
Yeah, CPW. I told you I screwed the name up. Evan always yells at me, you can't remember that name. I said, you're right, I can't, but I know where it is.
Have you had a chance, Nate? I don't know. It seems like most of our games are at night, but have you had a chance to enjoy any Bee's barbecue?
I have not. I'm not a big. I don't eat a lot of red meat, so I'm not a big barbecue guy.
Now, pork is the other white meat. What are you talking about?
I haven't eaten meat in about 35 years.
Oh wow.
Okay. All right.
A lot of fish. And there's a, we always say at the Hampton Inn, there's a, like a hibachi place or something right across.
Yeah, Fuji Japan.
They serve burgers in there too. It's weird, but the food's good, and they're open late.
Yeah, I remember. I think you had eaten there one of the times we talked to you before.
Yeah, we're giving away too many free plugs here. We don't need to let them advertise with the university.
one more place we'll mention. Check out. They're nice people. And maybe we're going to try to get some free food from them, me and Dave. And that's, oh, God, Dave, I'm having a brain fart after I'm trying to put them over. The restaurant, me, you keep talking about going to. They got a food truck at the football
stadium. Villa Verde.
Villa Verde, yes. On 10th Street, yeah.
From campus.
Yeah,
Evan's check. All over. Evan, my play-by-play, he's all over that pregame meal stuff. I eat before a game. I just can't do it. But he goes over there with Cy all the time and has his pregame stuff. So.
Yeah, check out Villa Verde. It's what is it? What is it? Dominican food, Dave?
Dominican. Yeah, it's basically what it is. Nate, it's the original, I think it's the original one. It used to be a Pizza Hut way back in the day, and including I'm so old now. When I was in college, it was still rolling, and then several years ago, I guess it went belly up. I'm not sure, but anyway, they just built
a new store.
Yeah, Jay, I can't think of his last name, Jay, but he actually owns the restaurant, and it's supposed to be really good. In fact, I even heard that, Kyle, you and I were talking about it. I've heard folks say that it's not only great food, but the prices are very good.
It's good. I eat from their food truck. I haven't been in their restaurant. We're trying to get an invite, but, eating from their food truck. You need to check it out, Nate, next time you're in town.
Well, ESPN's got a nice per diem, so they take care of us a little bit.
Good deal.
All right. Well, Nate, appreciate your time, man, and we're looking forward to hopefully we can get you year-round here in Greenville, or I don't know if your family would like that from Charleston to Greenville, but or if you can make the commute, but hopefully we can get you around more in the coming year.
Are you in Charleston, Nate? We're talking about eating. Stay right where you are, my friend.
We got some pretty good. I went to one on Shem Creek last night that was phenomenal, a new one.
Great seafood. Yeah, you can't get a bad meal in Charleston.
We got some pretty good restaurants here. We really do.
Now,
but,
Nate.
I love coming to Greenville. I like what the university is all about, and I love doing the games. It's really fun. And the crowds got better and better every year, too, or during the season as well. And that's because they just marketed it. It's as simple as that. They really did. And the people came out. They were fun to watch. They didn't win as many as they wanted to. But they play. I mean, people want effort, and they played really hard. And Jaden Gardner is fun to watch. He really is.
Now, Nate, earlier you referenced your new business venture during the off season. So do you want to tell our listeners a little bit about that?
Sure. Long story short, I went out to Palm Springs, California. I had like 5 days off in the middle of basketball season to play golf. And I've caddied at the Ocean Course at Kiowa for 20 years. This will be my 20th year doing it in the summertime. Anyway, I met this guy for a company called ProLockTour.com. What it is you put a counterweight, you install it in the grip end of the club. It changes the swing weight. It lightens the swing weight. It changes the balance point, and you hit the ball straighter and a little further and much more consistently. And I put it in my clubs when I was out there, and I liked it. And I met the owner, who's in Southern California. They have no reps east of Mississippi. So Ross Golf LLC will begin in about 3 weeks. I'm going out to Southern California next week and settle everything with them, and I'm going to do it here at Kiowa. And I have the rights to North and South Carolina, so we'll see what happens in the future in the off basketball season, summertime. So that's what's going
to
happen.
You know, we have a lot of golf
courses to do that in. Yeah.
Man, in South Carolina and North Carolina, there's a lot of great golf.
Yeah, well, a buddy of mine is a shoe rep and a clothing rep, and he goes to all the courses in Greenville. He says, I know all of them. Don't worry about it. I'll help you out. So I don't know. I'm just going to stick with Kiowa this summer, but we'll see what happens. Should be fun.
That sounds fantastic. And are you going to do a website or anything where people can find you, where we can help you out?
There's a possibility of that, but right now, not yet. Just, if you go to tourlockpro.com, you'll see all the information. And then
right.
When the demo day, it'll be advertised on there for the company.
All right, sounds fantastic. But Nate, yes, man.
It's got to be about a ball. Come on, I got to have a ball.
No doubt about it.
So
it's going to
be fun. Guys, I really appreciate you having me on, and it's been fun doing the games and talking with you about the games as well. It's been a ball for me. I love it.
Yeah, looking forward to having you back on, and let us know if anything comes up with the golfing venture or anything else coming up soon.
I will, man. If not, have a good summer, and I hope I'm there more than I was last year. I love it.
That'll be great.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Have a
good
night. All right. See you. Bye-bye. Thank you very much, Nate, from the great city, one of Kyle Barber's and my favorite cities, Charleston, South Carolina. You can never go wrong with Charleston, right?
As long as you don't go into North Charleston. Going to North Charleston, you can go very wrong. But in Charleston proper, no, it's beautiful down there, man. It's a lot of great restaurants, as me and Nate talked about. A lot of great scenery down there. And you can take that any way you want to.
Yeah.
They have lots of great scenery down there.
The G-rated version, the R-rated version, however
exactly.
You want.
Exactly. Anywhere in between. It's a great city, great place to visit. I'm sure most of our listeners have visited Charleston Mark multiple times, but if it just so happens you haven't, take a trip down there.
It'll be a lot of fun, and you see concerts. There's all kinds of stuff you can do down there.
Yeah.
For sure. You know,
hey,
I want to...
Beautiful houses to see, yeah.
By the way, I want to mention something very dear to me and you and to Bubba. It's coming up on April 13th. We have the spring game. And, Kyle, what do we have coming after the spring game? For people that
we have the Sports Objective post-game celebration. I don't know the official name of that. What is the official name, Dave?
I just call it the spring game after party. I don't know.
Spring game after party. Sports Objective spring game after party. Professor O'Cool's April 13th from 5 to 7 p.m. Be there or be square. And if you are square, be there anyway. It will make you cool by association,
baby. Baby, yeah.
Come on out and join us. Have a cold beer. Get some wings. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have some guests.
Former players are coming.
Yeah,
working on that.
We got a lot of guest stuff here. So far, we can confirm Terry Gallagher is going to be there.
And a Chris Moore, I think, said he was going
to
be there.
Chris Moore, okay. Well, we need to. We've got to get some names. We've got to get who's going to be the star? Who's going to be the special attraction? Who's going to be the draw? We got to come up with something, something special. You never know who's going to show up. Hey, you know, we make no promises.
Yeah.
But the last time, Mike Houston, Steve Shankweiler, Donnie Kirkpatrick just came walking in back in December.
That's right.
So, you know, who's going to come walking in this time? Who's going to be there? I'll tell you, you should be there. And by you, I mean whoever's listening to this right now.
That's right. Come on out.
It's free. There's no charge except what you eat and drink. You do have to pay for that.
We kind of need to know a head count, too, because it's only about 50 that we can put in the actual room. And so we kind of need to know. We don't want to make Linus. He's a fan of the podcast. Linus, we appreciate you and Steve very much. We don't want to overwhelm them. And they need to know because if there's a whole bunch of people that show up, they have to properly staff things. So I'll tell you what, let's give our email address. It's thesportsobj@gmail.com. thesportsobj@gmail.com. Yep. We'll keep mentioning that a lot.
Just go to Facebook. Go to our page.
Let us know, yeah.
Go to our page. There is an event link up there to the after party. Comment on the event. Say you're coming. You don't have to. Look, if you don't RSVP, we're still going to let you in.
Yep.
But we would like to have some RSVPs so we'll know. We'll have a good hit count because we have to let Linus know so he can have it properly staffed with waitresses.
Cooks and everything, so we can get it. So that way you don't have to. If you don't tell us and a whole bunch of people show up, then you can't complain with the servers or the staff or, you know, like with the cooks and stuff because they may think there's only 20 people.
The other way, we got to make sure we have enough people. You know,
we
got to cover the bill for the room. So, you know.
That's right. So come on out. Spend a lot of money.
Exactly. Spend a lot of money. That's right.
The folks said, the folks at Professor Cools have been very good at the Sports Objective podcast and to us. So, Linus, Martinez, and Steve, and everybody there have been fantastic. So very easy to work with.
Yep.
So that's why we keep doing things there because it's a no-brainer. Learned a long time ago. Do business with the people that do business with you. and what they do, because they allow us to go there and have a good time. And believe it or not, we are not the worst crowd they've ever had. So I love that story that Linus told us, which we won't mention. But that was very ironic, to say the least. But we clean up after ourselves, or we do the very best we can, and it's going to be fun. So make sure you make a point. It's April the 13th. The Saturday afternoon, and please go to, the first thing we want you to do is go to the spring game. It's at 1:30. It's probably going to last, what, an hour and a half, 2 hours maybe, Kyle? Is my memory
something
right?
Something like that, yeah, an hour and a half,
it's not like a full. It's not like a full football game.
No, probably by 3:30 it'll be over. You get out of there by 4, and the party's going to start at 5. And
come on over and have a good time beforehand, even as we're getting ready for. It's a live podcast.
Go sit at the bar. Go sit at the bar while we're getting ready, and then come on in and join us. Order yourself something to eat. Keep drinking and have fun.
Just don't put it on her.
No, you're paying for your own. You're paying for your own stuff.
We had that happen last time, so please don't do that. Don't put it on our staff, because if we had a whole bunch of sponsors and everything, that would be cool. But it's actually coming out of the three of us.
I forgot somebody did that.
Yeah, thankfully it wasn't bad. And thank you, Terry Gallagher. He's a rich man out of Georgia and a good friend of ours, and he loves listening to podcasts. We want to give him a shout-out for sure. Well, I guess Bubba fell asleep. I don't know what happened to Bubba. If anybody sees Bubba, then let us know. But
the case of the missing Bubba.
Exactly. So for Bubba Rosenbaum, Kyle from LaGrange Barber, I'm Dave Richmond for the Sports Objective Podcast.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time, as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.